Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome into the GSMC Technology Podcast on a Thursday. My name is Tom Doherty as we get started here in this first segment. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network as we get some technology talk going here on a Thursday. Obviously, coming off of the E3 event, what was that, last week in LA, as of course, We always want to talk about the newest and brightest games and technology and consoles, everything that is available for you, consumer products or what have you. Also want to give you the best advice on what to buy and what's the newest thing coming out that you need or want or both. It doesn't matter. We're getting into a world here where everything is becoming easier and easier, and trying to cater, at least as companies are trying to cater to you the best they can to make your lives more efficient. I mean, I know it's supposed to be, oh, don't look at your screen. I talked about in the last show a lot, the fact that the companies are trying to, Google and Apple at least, but they're because they're the two companies that really drive our software that we have on our phones, whether it's Android or iPhone. They're trying to get you to use your phone less and trying to get you to talk more to its home devices and get you to stop looking at the screens and just have things happen easier through the AI stuff. And that's what we're getting to now with this Google Home, as it's now being announced that the continued conversations is being released and now available to Google Home users today. It did make that promise last month in the at the I/O conference, making it said that, you know, you just have these continued conversations with Google, but instead of having to say, hey, Google, every time you ask a question, you can actually continue a question, conversation. You can piggyback it and ask multiple questions at the same time. It's kind of I know that they had that that commercial during the NBA finals, I think what it was, where it's like they're trying to say, hey, all you got to do is say, hey, Google. And Kevin Durant's like, yo, Google. He couldn't figure it out. Obviously, it's a joke, but yeah, they're getting into it now where you don't have to quite say, hey, Google, every time. But if, for example, you could say, hey, Google, what's the traffic like? Or, I mean, actually, that's a pretty good question or something like that. Or, hey, Google, what's the weather tomorrow or something like that? And so, what's it going to be the next day? What's the next day or something like that? So how's my commute? Yeah, that's a good question there. So what's going on? Remind me to get coffee, all those things that can go right in the seamless back and forth conversation between you and your Google Assistant, which might make you feel awkward. That's going to be in a whole other learning curve, or people becoming, I think we're already getting to a point here where people are okay with talking to themselves or talking to a non-human device where it's going to talk back to you. Obviously, we have Siri, have had Siri for a while, Amazon Alexa, and everything like that. Now we're getting into Google Home, which the Google Assistant does not have a catchy little name for it yet. I don't know if they're going to go that way with having the assistant just call it Google Assistant. This continued conversation is basically them just keeping it active and listening even after the initial request. It says it will stay active up to 8 seconds. So if no speech is detected, then you will see the LEDs. Will stay on and let you know for those 8 seconds how long it's going to be active for, so you ask questions. So, I mean, that's actually kind of a long time, but then compared to how we had before, where every single time you got to say, hey, Google, I'm sure Alexa, we're going to get the same kind of thing with the Amazon, the Amazon Echoes, and you're going to get Alexa being able to do the same kind of thing where you're just going to be able to talk to her without having to say Alexa every time. To get her with the whatever the, I mean, it's the initiation phrase in order to get it to start listening to you. But these continued conversations, obviously, you just go to your Google Assistant app, you go to settings, preferences, continued conversations, hit the toggle to turn that on, as it is going to be rolling out today across the country. And you're going to be able to use that now. It's a pretty cool device. Not the biggest announced there. But then they, it's going to be a pretty cool thing there, I guess. I mean, they got a bunch of feedback. I think they got a bunch of kickback and kind of thing. We don't have to say, "Hey Google," every single time. I know this came out with a commercial about the joke about having to say it every single time. And now they, turn around and say, "Oh, we don't have to say it every time. You got an 8-second buffer basically, to say some more things or ask it a couple more questions or give it another command, that you'd like to give." All right, next up, I do want to touch on this. Not quite up in the title, but Instagram is trying to turn it. I mean, Facebook obviously has the Facebook Live and Facebook Watch or whatever it's called to go. They have now a deal with them in Major League Baseball to air baseball games. I think it's once a week actually, where they exclusively will air a baseball game on Facebook Live or watch Facebook Watch. I think wasn't it Facebook Live first? Now it's Facebook Watch, or there's both. Because I can go live on Facebook right now if I want to. But yeah, Facebook MLB Live, Facebook Watch, whatever you're going to be doing it on. But now Instagram, which is a Facebook subsidiary, it's owned by Facebook, is going to create a television service for youth, and they want it to be called. It's going to be called IGTV, where it's going to be specifically created for long-form vertical video. So if you're filming something, obviously, up and down with your phone camera, it's going to be that vertical video. So we don't quite know what they're be going towards. Obviously, they have to figure out how to way to pay for its shows and for it to get, obviously, a monetization for the creators. I mean, you saw Netflix. Netflix was – how long was Netflix around to selling – I mean, doing the DVD service? 5-8 years before they finally went to streaming, and then once they went to streaming, then they started rolling out their own original shows. Obviously, I think I'm not afraid of Facebook's monetization. I don't know why they we have to give the money to make these TV shows. They have enough money. I think they just need to get the creators in there and to be able to create something that's going to hold your attention for a long form show that's going to draw teens in who are already watching less TV because of the reason why they're watching less TV is because of the screen is horizontal like it always is usually at a 16:9. It's because of the attention span and because things are just too long for us. I mean, look at now with Snapchat. Snapchat's a perfect example. How do we get our news? I can swipe over to Snapchat right now on my phone and get ABC News or NBC News, People, I think Newsweek as well, Mashable, which is a technology outlet, all this kind of things right here on my device. Quick little quips. Don't have to go sit and watch a full news show or anything. So I mean, that's kind of where I think they're grabbing this from, where it's like, oh well, now if people are going to sit there and watch a full little news segment, yeah, that's 3 minutes long maybe, and you could skip through it if you whatever you want. You can hear what you want to hear. You think people are going to sit and watch a 30-minute show on their phones vertically up and down? I mean, number one, you're losing a lot of screen space, so you have to really focus on framing, and number two, let us don't think this is worth the money. I think that how the money part's going to work isn't as clear. But the CEO for Instagram, that's Kevin Systrom, did come out and say to Recode.com that this is. And a very straightforward argument that he quoted and said, teens are watching less TV, but they're watching more video on Instagram than ever before. And that video is often coming from creators, term used for popular YouTube stars, former Vine stars, and the like, which is true. I do agree with that. That's very true. But YouTube is YouTube still for a reason. It's not defunct. People watch longer videos on YouTube because they're vertical. No, because they're on a TV, usually on their computer screen or on the YouTube app, where you can turn the phone sideways and watch it like a normal TV screen horizontally. And it's just a, it's people like to do, they compartmentalize. Kids, especially teenagers, compartmentalize how they consume things. We get, we have Twitter for text things, for reading certain quick little quips and talking to each other, whatever we want to do, commenting on people's posts and stuff like that. Instagram is for pictures and small short videos. Up to, I think the longest video I've seen on Instagram is a minute long, maybe a minute and a half long video on Instagram that loop. And yeah, you're seeing a lot of those creators creating videos, the guys from Vine or ladies from Vine. We haven't gone off YouTube yet. YouTube still has a lot of creators on that site as well, and they pay them a lot of money. People making it's crazy how much money people are making on YouTube. It's ridiculous. But I just don't understand why he thinks that, oh, they're already watching so many videos on here that are a minute long from creators that they're going to watch on YouTube. Yeah, because those creators go on YouTube and actually upload real videos that are longer and are optimized to be watched on a 16:9 screen that YouTube gives you, whether you're watching on an iPad, iPhone, Android phone, laptop, doesn't matter. You're going to get it. YouTube already has it already done. We're not going, once YouTube dies, then Instagram can start making videos or making TV shows, I guess, what they're trying to do. You don't even see YouTube. YouTube TV just got live TV. They don't even like, oh, we'll throw it to the creators. We're going to start financing our creators and start making like weekly TV shows. Well, they do that already, but they're their shows. They don't try and put umbrellas on them or caps on them. It's like, oh, we want to give you an actual studio show. No, we're good. We have a following that we have millions of subscribers because they like watching us talk to us in our TV. I mean, in our bedrooms. Because the difference between regular TV, obviously, that's been filmed and edited in pre-production, post-production, has actors, all this stuff on it, versus a YouTube video, especially a low-budget YouTube video. Even some of the most subscribed people on YouTube have very, very bare-bones productions because they don't need to. They've been doing it forever. They have the following. That's what people like. It's connectability. It's just like my brother or sister or best friend sitting in its bedroom talking to me. It's about relating to something. It's, you're not bigger than me. I'm not bigger than you. We're on the same level here, even though they probably are bigger than them. Become fans, obviously. Some of the bigger YouTubers become their own brands and their own like and everything. Obviously, some of them are more talented than others. You saw people like Choi Sivan, who started on YouTube and also has a great musical talent. Now he's a top charts on the with music and everything. He's had albums coming out, selling a bunch of records. So you got that. That's one of the main examples. But there's also people who are turning to charitable avenues, who are using it for bigger and better things, versus also putting it just on their YouTube channels, making the same videos they would anyways. I mean, look at the closest thing I think to a actual television show that's week to week on YouTube is Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link on YouTube. Go look at that. If you haven't subscribed to them or gone and checked out their channel, go look up GMM, Good Mythical Morning with them. And it's basically a talk show where they do kind of crazy things. And yeah, it's like 19 minutes long sometimes. Maybe sometimes it's shorter. That's the thing about TV shows. They have a time slot. They have to be a certain amount of, they have to be a certain length. Even Netflix shows, their originals are a certain length. There's no 10 minute episodes on those Netflix originals. They don't do that, but YouTube, it allows for that. Is Instagram going to put these parameters on people? What's going to be the deal with this YouTube TV? It's not really clear how anything's going to work, whether it's going to be the financing or it's going to be how they're going to get people to start watching TV on a vertical phone, holding it up. Yeah, lucky. Hopefully, everybody, you know what you should do every time somebody downloads a movie or wants to watch a movie, you should send them a pop socket, because then it can actually hold their phones between their fingers with the pop socket and comfortably watch their show. But if they wanted to watch it horizontally like normal, they could just open that pop socket up, use it as a stand, and watch it normal. Oh, nope, you can't, because everything's vertical. That's the stupidest thing for me. Sorry, Instagram. You can make your own shows. Yeah, I watch plenty of videos on Instagram. I get a lot of content through Instagram, through these creators or funny videos or whatever it may have you, compilation, whatever it might be. But, Yeah, I like watching. I'd rather go on YouTube and go watch something if it's going to be long formed, especially long form, horizontally. Because number one, we've basically been trained our whole lives to know that TV shows are 16:9 frame, not 9:16 frame. Whereas the other way around, where we don't watch our TVs up and down. They're horizontal. They're not always vertical. That's one of the parts I was like, I don't know how this is going to work. Obviously, they're always going to put it. Oh, we're trying to help the creators. We want to help the creators make that. This is supposed to be helping build their careers and make a living doing this work. Yeah, that's YouTube. If they're good enough, they'll go on YouTube and they'll monetize it that way. Okay, Instagram, stop trying to copy everything. Which is literally Instagram's. They have had a great idea that for the first ones, the ability to do the picture, create a good picture posting site, social media where it's based off of images and comments. Now they're trying to copycat everybody. You don't see Snapchat trying to do that, where they're going to create a feed for you to post pictures on, like, and with comments like that. No, it's just the stories and it's just the messaging. And now they have the news. Instagram's probably pissed they didn't get up on that news, game. And did it like Snapchat did. They're probably mad they were late to that one because they have to deal with Facebook and they have problems with that. All right, that's enough for about my rants on YouTube on Instagram, IGTV. We'll see what happens with that one. I just don't understand long form vertical, specifically long form vertical video. That does not make any sense. All right, we'll come back and talk about some news from AT&T. I know it's just a telemarketing company, but it has to do with a lot of different stuff. So we'll do that when we come back.
Want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast on a Thursday today here, as we talked about a lot with that Instagram TV thing that, I don't see that catching on. I don't know. I could be wrong. We could be getting to a point now. I just don't think long form is meant for vertical viewing, for long form anything. Is meant for vertical viewing. It could just be me. People could be like, no, I'm going to watch a TV show vertically. If they can film it correctly, it's going to be a new challenge for these people, because most YouTube channels are filmed horizontally. Yeah. Okay. So going back to stuff regarding the AT&T deal with Time Warner Cable. So AT&T makes that deal with Time Warner Cable, and it's allowed by the federal government, does allow that to go through. And then, of course, right after that, AT&T rolls out its newest and greatest feature, which is going to be called Watch TV. Very easily. It's no spaces, just Watch TV service. Live service. So if you get an iPhone, if you get a new phone plan with AT&T, new unlimited phone plan, it's going to come with 30 live channels. I would have said 30 live channels. It's not focused on sports like you see with some of those other stuff, obviously ESPN Plus and everything like that. But 30 plus live channels, 15,000 TV shows and movies on demand, and they'll be available on every smartphone, streaming device, tablet, browser, whatever may have you. And also, if you do this new deal for them, that you will get a choice of HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, Stars, Amazon Music Unlimited, Pandora Premium, or VRV for free. One of those, pick one for free, with you for no extra charge, along with your new service from AT&T. As obviously a lot of those channels that they are going to be a part of this were acquired through that deal with Time Warner Cable. Most of it is a part of that under that umbrella. Obviously, you're going to have those main HBO is part of it. Obviously, it's part of that umbrella. But we're also going to get more and more stuff regarding the full channel list. A&E, AMC, Animal Planet, Audience, BBC stuff, Boomerang, Cartoon Network, CNN, Discovery, Food Network, Hallmark Channel, HGTV, or not, actually not seeing basically everything else, everything but sports. You can do ESPN Plus if you want, I guess. But with this AT&T thing, it's big because we're getting it. Now we're going to get to a point here where Comcast is going to try and buy 21st Century Fox or 20th Century Fox. 20th Century Fox. And their all of their stuff, all their assets, all their things that they have under their rights, just like Time Warner. That's what, I mean, why do you think AT&T bought Time Warner? Do you think they wanted it just to get more people to pay for their TV service? No, they wanted all the content. It's all about the content. It's all about who's going to get that advertising money for those shows, or HBO, all the HBO money, I think is a big deal. For them, but it's gonna be that the and more plan is going to be $80 a month for individual line. That's going to offer that watch TV, 15 gigs of high speed tethering, as well as access to 1080p HD video as well. So you're gonna, and also you're gonna get a $15 monthly credit for your DirecTV, because obviously AT&T DirecTV are all together now too. So it's all one big happy family over there at AT&T. But so because they're, I don't know, yeah, I guess you're. It's for people who already have, I mean, if you're a person who already has DirecTV services for your television, probably wouldn't be the worst thing to do, is you're going to get a $15 discount off your DirecTV bill every year, but then you get another bill for your phone that comes with all this streaming stuff. So, well, you can watch on the go and watch at home as well with your AT&T, with your DirecTV services as well. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to be up to, yeah, so it's going to be all that good stuff with the 4G LTE unlimited data. So everything's unlimited these days. But no, I mean, you got it. I wasn't not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. It was just not shocking. This is going to be a deal. Obviously, you can do the Watch TV standalone service for $15 a month as well. So if you don't want to have the phone, if you just want that service with the Watch TV stuff, say you all you watch is CNN or all you watch is AMC or A&E, and you want to have it be able to be streamed live on your devices, you can do that for $15 a month. Compared to, I think, well, YouTube TV has more stuff. So, I mean, this is all not only trying to compete with YouTube TV, the fact that they're bundling it together with these new phone plans is... a no-brainer pretty much for AT&T. It makes complete sense when it, especially with these new all the new phones coming out this year, it seems to be the next big thing. Is you have to always think of the next thing, and of course with this new deal now they're able to lump together some TV offers, some content offers, because usually it's just like, oh, I'm unlimited, you get a free phone with it, so you're gonna get two phones. Now I think this one's gonna be a little more enticing for people, because say there's a guy, somebody out there who doesn't want to pay for cable, but is looking for a new phone plan. Maybe look to switch over to two different companies. This is the only company that's going to offer something like this. Verizon does not have a service like this necessarily yet, even though they do. They might soon when Comcast, who is their parent company, finishes the deal with Fox. So as they did swoop in and pay, I think I covered that a couple weeks ago when they announced that they were going to try and swoop in up the offer to the Disney offer, because Disney was trying to buy Fox as well. But looks like that it's going to be Comcast to get in there and do that. So we might be seeing something similar from Verizon as well. I know Verizon already has a deal with sports is basically, I don't know why you can, YouTube kind of just did both. We're like, okay, we're going to throw sports and regular TV in here all together. I think YouTube TV is $30 a month. But Verizon has a deal with the NFL where if you have Verizon, you can pretty much watch any NFL game at any time that you want on your phone, on the NFL mobile app. So whether you're going to add something onto that, whether it's going to be the same kind of, I bet you they're just going to copy it. It's a pretty good idea, honestly. I would not be surprised if Verizon, once that deal with Fox goes through, they get all the channels that come along with that. You're going to be able to probably do the exact same thing. If you have Verizon, you get a new phone plan, and you're going to be able to watch with the fact that it's calling it Watch TV, not AT&T Watch or something like that. Verizon will have to come up with a better name than that, because that's pretty basic. It's not even connected to AT&T at all. But I mean, it's just, it's an extra service that they're giving along for basically for free with a new phone. Individual phone plan for $80 a month with some TV. It's not the worst thing. Seems a little bit on the high end, but you do get some good channels. I'd be missing out on the sports, but you got TBS on there, TNT. That's sports if you're a basketball fan. You got a whole year to wait, obviously, as we just finished the NBA season. But you got Discovery Channel, CNN. If you're not a sports person, this is good for you, honestly. If you don't watch sports at all, if you're a news person, CNN. If you like Food Network, go right. I mean, this is probably a great deal, honestly, especially if you're looking to get a new phone and a new phone plan, because it's going to come right along with it, and you'll be able to watch it on your devices, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. All right, bounce along. I wanted you to go back. Actually, we're going to save that for the last segment. I'm going to save it for the last segment. We're going to go back to the E3 for a little bit here, but I do want to come back a little bit to something I talked about last week, which is the Amazon Fire Cube and how it's being reviewed. Is obviously I did announce when it came out, it's going to be for sale at $120 Amazon Fire TV Cube. Like I said, it's kind of like that combination between the Echo and the Fire TV. They're kind of making it all in one where you can talk to it and it'll toggle things for you as basically a all-in-one remote would. And you'll just do it through your voice and it'll bring it up to you. So it looks like that this is going to be something that you can if you already have a Fire TV 4K and you pair it with your Amazon Echo, it seemingly seems you can do a lot of it with that. But with a Cube, you can also connect it to your soundbar and have more sound quality ability to control your sound quality and such like that. Obviously, you know, connect it to your cable box as well, where it will and a Blu-ray player too. So you can literally use it as a universal remote for all of your entertainment devices, not just Amazon Prime TV or whatever you're watching. You're gonna watch Goliath or go on Netflix something through your Fire Stick, but you can do a lot more, obviously, with this. They wouldn't just sell something that does something that we can figure out already, right? They have to add something to it. You can control your entire entertainment center with just your voice, and it's actually pretty cool. So no more remotes, just talk to Alexa and she'll even tune to your favorite TV show on your cable box, or she'll go into Netflix and pull up your favorite show, or go put on a movie for you, or turn on to your DVD player and toggle to that. So I don't know if people who have like a receiver, like a Denon receiver or something like that, where you have it all, everything goes through that for your sound. If you just connect it to that, and then it can go out and give the, I don't know how many out port cables it has. I was looking at it. It's actually not that small, not that big of a thing. It does give you Alexa, obviously, in your entertainment room, in your entertainment system, controls all your TV, supports all your favorite HD and 4K content, and then also will do everything regarding with that. I talked about the how they have those microphones set up on the device. It'll be able to pick up your voice even with sound playing anyways. Some of the stuff regarding the problems we've seen with it doesn't offer any Dolby Atmos stuff. So that has to do with like if you have the Dolby speakers, doesn't have any connection with that, or it doesn't have a YouTube app yet either. And then it also doesn't come with the HDMI cable. You'll have to get one of those as well. And it looks like it does come with a remote, but it's being deemed too not. It doesn't have enough buttons on it, I guess. People were like, "Oh, too many buttons. Oh, not enough buttons. It's too simple, too straight." I mean, they're trying to get you to use your voice, though. That's the thing. It's not about the remote. It's about the your voice. And then sometimes when you are trying to, I'm not surprised here. This is why I wouldn't buy the first model. I personally wouldn't buy the first model. I'd buy the next model of it to come out when they get all the kinks out of there. But it looks like they're having issues with the set-top box's connectability and controlling certain devices when it's connected to not like your TV, but it's connected to everything else. Like I just said, you can connect your Blu-ray player, your Comcast box, your AT&T or DirecTV box, whatever have you, but it is having some issues with that. You could run into problems where you'll have to troubleshoot it a little bit. So I mean, it's running at $119.99 right now at Best Buy and also on Amazon.com. It's not that big. It's only 3.5 inches by 3.5 inches, a little cube. It didn't really have much other ideas to come up with the name. I mean, it kind of reminds me of a GameCube, which is awesome because I love my GameCube. But I'm excited to see if this is something that I want to get, because looking at the ports in the back. So I do have seen this. It has a USB, has the infrared, HDMI. So I don't know what you'd be plugging the HDMI into your like tuner kind of thing, like I said, like your receiver, and then that will go out to your other devices, I guess, so it'll be able to control it through that. You can toggle it, use it as a remote. So I just think that we're gonna have to wait for the next generation of set-top boxes to come out, where they're gonna maybe have more wireless compatibility to talk to each other through wireless as well as through the USB or through HDMI. So that's probably why we're having issues with it. The set-top boxes that we all have in our houses right now probably aren't quite ready for this capability yet, where they're more used to having the infrared for the remote. But it has that on there too, so I don't know whether it shoots out its own infrared signal to the other boxes or what. It might be that's possible, but it probably takes a little more connectability, and that's why we're having issues with it already. All right, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about probably this cube a little more. It's just some stuff regarding some in-home stuff you could do with it. Not only has to do with your TV entertainment stuff. We'll talk about that on the other side, as well as some news from Apple regarding their Air Power Charger. So we'll do that when we come back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to ESMC Technology Podcast on a Thursday. In this segment, we're going to talk about some Apple news, as we like to do on the show here, with Apple reporting that they are going to be coming out with that Air Charger, the Air Power, in September, along with the new phones, I'm assuming, at least, with the new phones, as well as the consideration. We talked about this a little bit last time, that they're considering taking off the lightning connector on the bottom of the phones, getting rid of it all. So obviously that goes all in one with this fact that they're trying to go completely wireless charging, whether you're going to be putting you can charge, looks like, this Air Power thing, they're obviously not going to leave anything out. You can charge your watch, you can charge your headphones, you can charge your iPhone, obviously, on there with this the new glass back technology. So it's going to be the charging mat. This can be multi-device charging mat. It's going to be before or in September. Obviously, that's when the new phones are going to be coming out as well. We saw the iPhone X in September 2017. We also saw them previewing the Air Power Charger a little bit. Obviously, trying to get that figured out when it comes to energy transferring. There's been some issues regarding making sure batteries are capable enough. We don't need anything blowing up anymore or any fires like we saw over from the other company. But Apple engineers, and they did initially hope for a launch in June, but they were going to presumably, obviously, a WWDC they did note in that presentation that the air power charger was going to be delayed a little bit. But looking at what it actually is, it's going to be a oval pad. It's going to be a mat, obviously, that plugs in to a wall that's going to be able to give a charging ability to multiple devices at once. So the iPhone 8, iPhone 8 Plus, iPhone 10, iPhone, the Apple Watch Series 3. And then also, it's going to be able to charge the AirPods, like I said, while they're in their case. So, be able to do that all through the Apple Air Power charging mat, which is pretty cool. I mean, it's like basically, I think it's going to do two things. So I have a tendency to always go and find a charger and bring it to wherever I'm sitting and have my phone charged so it's next to me. But then I now figure that, you know what, I'm just going to leave the phone wherever it's charging and not have it like be tethered to me like it normally is. It creates a little bit more separation. So this might even increase that that ability for people to do that, or that maybe nudge them in that direction to do that, because this air charger isn't as easy. The air power charger might not be as easy to might not be as mobile as just your normal wall charger, where it also probably the cord isn't going to be long enough anyway. So you're going to have to sit it on your counter or what have you on your desk and have all your devices there at once. So if you want to charge your phone, you got to leave it alone, put it over on the side, and let it do that over there on it by itself. So it's not the worst thing in the world to happen. So I think it's pretty good, actually, the fact that we're getting something like this with these new phones as well. They're all trying to get you, it's funny, they think, oh, you want them to use your devices as much as possible to get more usage, but maybe I think they're trying to get you to use it less because they realize that the batteries, number one, batteries don't last forever. They're hopefully going to make them more and more powerful, but I'm already seeing, like, my phone, I have an iPhone 7 Plus. It was fully charged this morning at 6 a.m. It's been 3 hours. It's not bad, actually. It's almost four hours, and it's going to be at 76% right now, just for an example. So, and it was charging on the way here on the car. So it probably was more than that when I got here, actually. So it should be lower than that if it wasn't being charged for 40 minutes before. But so that's not a perfect example. But the whole idea is to get us to stop. I think they're trying to get us to stop using our phones because, number one, it helps them, keeps the batteries good for longer, so they don't need to really create these big expensive batteries. It'll keep the price point of the phone down. It'll keep us healthier because I think it's turning into, people are like, oh, we're I've talked to people who are in the food industry or any kind of service industry where they have to deal with people on a daily basis, and sometimes they'll come and try and help somebody, and they're in their nose is in their phone, and they think that you don't want to bother them, but they're like, oh, where'd you go? Where you took forever? No, you were actually in your phone the whole time. I couldn't really get in there and talk to you very well. Sorry. Like, what do you want me to do? These new phones, not along with the, and we talked a lot about that screen time app with Apple, Google is going to have the same thing with Android P, where you can set apps to, give you notifications that say that you've used it, you're allotted time for it. You can set a time for an entire day, say, okay, I only want to use Instagram for an hour today combined. So, over the entire day, all the usage on it, every time I have Instagram open, it's going to basically have a timer. And it'll add to that timer every time you use the app. And then once you reach an hour, it's like, nope, you're done. And I think, I don't know, obviously, it's not going to lock you out against your will. If you really want to use the app, you can. But it's going to give you the reminder. It's going to be annoying. And it's going to try and bug you to where you get to a point where you're like, no, fine, I'm not going to use it. I'll stop. Like, just obviously, it's going to give you that extra reminder. It's always the people, I want to be diligent about something, but I just always forget. I always forget to go to the gym. I always forget to get off my phone. I always forget to do this. No, well, now you're going to have an extra reminders, and then you'll be like, oh, you'll actually look up and be able to find something. As obviously, there's a video out there. It's the look up video. It's like, oh, look up, see what happens when you your head isn't down on your phone like it is all day. But obviously, I'm extrapolating a little bit further here. It's like, oh, they just created this wireless charger, so you're forced to set your phone over by itself and walk away from it while it's charging instead of having it in your hand while it's charging, because it literally will have to be sit on this charger. I'm not sure how it's going to go for the people who use like pop sockets and stuff like that, because that probably won't be able to be. I don't know how that's going to work. You probably can't have a pop socket if you want to charge it wirelessly. But if they get rid of the whole charging port on the bottom of it, you're going to have to charge it wirelessly. It's going to be required, and they'll probably have to figure something out. Maybe they make a deal with that. If you're a pop socket out there, if anybody from pop socket is listening, I would call Apple now and start a deal to partner with them and create a pop socket that is capable to that will be able to get that charging abilities through the pop socket. There you go. However, you can do that. Figure it out, PopSocket. Your engineers there are bringing up to Apple and be like, "Hey, your users love our product. You're going to try and make us defunct by forcing them to use wireless chargers and then making our product obsolete, because unless you can figure out how to be able to charge the phone face down. If you can charge the phone face down, then the problem's moot." But I don't think that's the case. I think it's only face up through the back of the phone with that glass back that they're obviously been rolling out with the phones that came out last year. Looks like we're doing that. So it's pretty cool as we're going into this new age of phones where it's going to be wireless charging. I mean, it's not truly, obviously not truly wireless, because the air power thing has a wire. We're not there yet. We still have to plug into our walls, obviously, to get our charging capabilities, energy out through our outlets. But we're getting to a point now where people are gonna have to sit down their phones and walk away from it, or at least hover over the Apple Pad. You can't sit down and have your phone charged at the same time, which I am trying to stop doing. Stop doing it. All right. I do want to touch on one more thing. Before we do, we're going to kind of do a rehaul. I know I did a recap of E3 in the last show, but I kind of want to do, there was a couple other things I wanted to get to. I talked about a lot of the new games. I wanted to get to some stuff on some consoles. I do want to get to the fact that Apple, some more news on Apple as we go through here from the Apple, this and everything regarding the iOS 12, obviously securely and everything. So actually, this is a good function. So here's a cool new thing I had in my notes I wanted to get through Apple. Through iOS 12, it looks like that it's going to be securely and automatically sharing. So if you call 911 on your phone, if you call 911 on your iPhone, it'll actually securely and automatically share your location with first responders. So hopefully, later this year with iOS 12, so providing faster and more pertinent information for those who need it the most to be able to, if you're in trouble at all in that 1-1 situation, you don't have to worry. We've seen it, obviously you see it in TV sometimes, you see it in real life situations and news. There was I don't hate bringing it up, but this is a good, perfect example. It was a story of a young kid who died from suffocation and crushing because he got stuck in the back of his car because the car malfunctioned and one of the seats in his van came up and he was a smaller kid and he got squished in the back of the car and couldn't breathe, and he called 911 twice, and there's all these recordings and stuff, and it's this horrible thing that I don't like talking about, but this isn't exactly what it's pointing towards. If the kid had called 911, which he did, obviously he doesn't have an iPhone, I think Google will probably pick this up right away as well, because it's a great safety feature where the cops couldn't find him. The paramedics couldn't find him, and he unfortunately passed away, and you can hear on the recordings that he knows that he was in trouble and everything was what was happening, that they probably couldn't find him, and we knew he was kind of Scrooged in that situation and it was going to be bad. So with this new technology from Apple and hopefully from Google as well, we're going to be able to get this technology where that kid would have been found through the fact that his phone would have shared the location with first responders, and he would have been found faster than he was, because I mean, those tragedies, we hear about them even when they're across the country, halfway across the world, doesn't matter, we still hear about them, and it's pretty tragic. So I mean, we have data that 80% of 911 calls come from mobile devices. Where do you think all these, I mean, car accidents, I mean, even burglaries, robberies, I mean, muggings, any kind of thing that happens out in the open where you're not around a landline. I mean, who uses a landline anymore anyways? 80%, I think, is low, honestly, for some times when it comes to mobile devices. The landline era has made it difficult for 911 centers to get first responders out there and to get valuable information regarding the location of people who need help. So I hate to bring up the stories like that, but that was just came into my head. It's a recent thing that happened, and it's just an example of how this technology can save lives. Honestly, that's really what it comes down to. It saves lives. It's going to help first responders do their jobs better. It's going to do a lot of different things. So I know people are like, oh, but my location, they can hack into it. No, well, Apple has been very good at making sure that things are secure and not being susceptible for a leak or for a break in or for some sort of hack. So this iOS 12 is going to be automatically sharing locations with 911 users. So iPhone users will be able to call 911. They can share the location automatically with first responders, which is going to be a very necessary device. So I'm sorry to leave that on a very sad note. I know for those who don't know this, I think the story I brought up about the young kid who unfortunately lost his life in that terrible situation was pretty widespread. So, I mean, I hope I'm not just like dropping things on you. But that obviously did happen. I think it was in Ohio where it happened. And something like that should never happen again, and it could happen. It could be thwarted through technology like this. All right, we're going to go back to games in the next segment. We're going to lighten it up a little bit, even though this is a serious topic, and we do want to be professional here as we get through the show today on a Thursday. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about E3 a little more on the other side. So stay tuned.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast on a Thursday. Today here, final segment of the day. I do want to go back and address what we finished that last segment on really quickly here on for some of those who might be wondering what the actual technology behind all this ability to share a location with, but they're not using location services. But back in 2015, Apple started to address the challenge of actually using locations. I mean, because not every first responder has an iPhone. It's going to be, having just location services being used. But Apple was able to get around it by using a ability they're calling Hilo, which stands for Hybridized Emergency Location. And they started that back in 2015. So it's going to be using the caller's location, cell towers, on-device data sources, so GPS. So it could be using location services, and then also Wi-Fi access points. So Wi-Fi also will help your location services be more specific. So there's also a company called Rapid SOS that's going to be helping optimize that optimize that data from Hilo and get it to the people who need it the most, and that's the first responders to be able to get it after, to be able to find those in need. I mean, Tim Cook has come out and said in a statement that communities rely on 911 centers in an emergency, and we believe they should have the best available technology at their disposal. And that's something that we haven't had in this country, and it's kind of sad. I mean, you read stories, and not kind of sad, it's extremely sad. It's devastating. Sometimes you read these stories, we're like, wow, it's the 21st century. I can order things on. I mean, I can do basically anything I can think of with the device, with the TV. I mean, there's so many different things that we thought we couldn't do, would never be possible to do back in the days, where were rotary telephones and everything in the past were, oh, that's never been possible. We're never going to be able to order basically whatever you want, or DoorDash your food, or have somebody deliver. I mean, you never have to leave the house anymore these days. You don't have to leave the house. The technology takes it over. You can talk to a computer and they'll play a song for you. I mean, who you thought that you'd never be able to do that back in the day, and that's when... Now we're into a point where, why can't we have this great technology for the things that are actually necessary in our society? Emergency services, because they happen all over the place. You hear sirens every day, and now Tim Cook's right. It's kind of a no-brainer. So, Tim Cook's a great, brilliant guy, and obviously it's great that Apple is taking in the first steps on this. So hopefully Google will walk with them hand in hand and do the same thing on their Android phones. Because this is a big deal. It's life and death, and it's something that is serious, and it's something that is very, 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 very necessary. And like you said, communities rely on these centers. They rely on them, and they're a big fallback. They're a safety net. They're everything, and we pay for them. They're all funded by the taxpayer, so it's part of being part of the U.S. citizen. It's part of being part of the society and paying your taxes. And it gets to this point where now our money isn't good enough to pay for the best technology in the world to be able to get after us and find us and save our lives. I mean, isn't this what it's supposed to be? So it's great to hear that this is happening. And unfortunately, I think it's happening too late. Maybe it's a technology, whether it took Apple 3 years to figure it out. Obviously, they started this back in 2015. But when you're getting into situations where it's about location, and you're sending a firefighter or an EMT or a cop somewhere, you want to be right. You don't want to have any question marks. You don't want to have any bugs or funkiness with it. You want to be right every single time. The last thing you want to happen is, oh, we got it. We have this technology. We're going to pinpoint where this person is and needs help. And you send them to the wrong location, and the person can't get the help they need in a timely manner, then okay, now you're being looked at, and you're the scapegoat, or whatever word you want to call. You don't look very good. So I do understand that it takes a while to be able to make sure these things work the right way every single time. And it took 3 years, so be it. It's here now. It's going to be available on the iOS 12. And it's going to be a great addition to a lot of the different services Apple gives us. It's really the first one we've seen that is going to be a real society needed functional service. That's going to be like, okay, this is serious work now. It's going to be something that I think is going to be very helpful, probably in the near future, right when it comes out. I'm sure it's going to be used right when it comes out, because things happen. There's a lot of people in our country, a lot of people around the world that need help. A lot of the times stuff happens, accidents happen, and malfunctions happen. So this is definitely a necessary thing for Apple to do. And the fact that they're going to do it securely and automatically is going to be very, very nice to know. So bring that to your attention with the fact that you can do that with the new iOS 12 coming out in September. You'll be able, it's going to do that for you. All right, getting back to some more lighter stuff. I know, sorry, Johnny Raincloud here a little bit, but we did have E3 last week. I did recover E3. of course, everybody's like, "Oh, who won E3? Who did this?" We did learned a lot of stuff about the future of some of the biggest gaming companies in the world, regarding whether it's Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, all these consoles. We learned about the future of the consoles. A lot of times, obviously, Sony has put a kind of a life expectancy on the PS4, but they have not said anything about PS5. We've been given 2020 as a year for Xbox to see a new generation of Xbox, which then of course begs the question, okay, what's going to be the next, what are the crossover games going to be, multi-gen games are going to be in 2020. Obviously we know that that they were going to have a lot of games coming in February of 2019, as well as stuff that's coming at the end of this year. And then we're going to have Spider-Man's coming out in September, Kingdom Hearts, across a lot of platforms. That'll be in January of 2019 as well. So we have a lot of different things to look forward to. I went over a bunch of stuff regarding blockbuster games in the last episode that are coming in February. As far as the cross play, as PS4, they do have the cross play a little bit. For Fortnite, obviously, we know what happened with that. But it looks like that Nintendo is putting it right back in the face of Sony. And they came out with a trailer that regarding it looks like Minecraft's featured in it as well, but it looks like that now that we're about the Battle Royale, Fortnite Battle Royale is now on Switch, they're really pushing it as far as when it comes to the fact that you can, for those who are Xbox One users, because obviously you can't do it if you're a PS4 user, but if you are an Xbox One user and you play Fortnite and you built up your account and you have all these cool different things on it because you played for so long, and now you have an Xbox, you have a Nintendo Switch as well, and you want to play Fortnite on your Switch, go right ahead. Nintendo would love that because they are pushing that. They have put it in a crossplay ad, as long with they have done the same thing with Minecraft. I know they're probably going to do something the same thing with Fortnite. Also, Rocket League, I think it's the same thing. So it looks like that you can't, see, like I said, you can't join up with those on the Switch or Xbox One. PS4 is like, nope. Sony's like, nope, sorry guys. And that's why I think a lot of people might be shifting over to Xbox, and we're going to see the Xbox finally maybe catch up to PS4 and the sales when it comes to the fact that they PS4 is outselling Xbox a little bit right now, but we can, maybe can get it up. But there was an ad with the Xbox One controller and the bisected screen with the Xbox One colors green and the Switch is red, as well as the tweet from Nintendo says that it looks like they came out. Yeah, so Nintendo of America came out and tweeted, "Hey Xbox, hey at Xbox, since we can play at Minecraft together, did you want to build something?" ? So they're all showing the buddy buddiness between the Xbox One and Nintendo, and so it looks like Minecraft is the first game that they're kind of trying to push and hammer home again with this crossplay ability, and then also so it looks like you can play seamlessly, play Minecraft with Xbox One players on Switch and vice versa, but not PS4. And then maybe we'll get to Fortnite eventually as all this stuff starts to trickle out of these companies, as they start to release stuff more and more when at the end of E3 last week. So it looks like that we're going to be seeing more and more stuff from them as we get to stuff from about the consoles. And the future of the consoles, obviously, I just mentioned that we're going to see 2020 as a year. But Nintendo, obviously, they're totally set up on the Switch. The Switch was great. They sold like gangbusters. We haven't really, there was no news on the Switch 2 or anything like that. So we don't really need to worry about that. I think Nintendo is basking in their own glory right now with the fact that the Switch sold so well. And they come out with a new charging thing. They fix a couple of little things, but it looks like that they also have announced and showed off the portability of the Switch and how you can take your Switch to your buddy's house or your girlfriend's house and play different level, different stuff on multiple screens. So you can link multiple Switch consoles together and then build custom and modular levels using multiple screens, which seems pretty crazy. That's really cool. So it looks like Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. We're also focused, obviously, that's going to be a big one for them when they come out with that Pokemon game for Nintendo Switch. That was a huge part of E3, a huge part of their presentation at E3. As Nintendo is focused on more of the gaming stuff, the gaming quality, and the more of the gameplay experience that the users have versus actually the actual console, which they obviously took their time on in with the Wii and the Wii U, and then now coming out with this Nintendo Switch, and how you can do all sorts of stuff with it, and how you can now cross over and play with those who use your friends who use Xbox. So you'll like that if you are a Nintendo fan, and if you're doing that, so you can you can start doing things with multiple TV screens, which is pretty cool. Start stacking it together, which I've definitely done that before as well. All right, so we've gone through a bunch of stuff today. We talked about the Apple, the Air Power Charger for Apple. We've gone through some stuff regarding some more updates with iOS 12, some features with iOS 12. Talked about some gaming stuff. Went through with a new offer from AT&T, and after their acquisition of Time Warner Cable, now with AT&T, you can get a new phone and also get 30 channels of TV and over 15,000 movies and TV shows on demand available on any device that you have. If you have that AT&T Watch TV, offer that they're calling it, they're getting it. Also, if you already have a phone, you want to get a new phone or pay $80 a month for AT&T, you can pay for that Watch TV service for just $15 a month with AT&T. So pretty cool. And then Google Home also does have a new addition where you can have those continued conversations. You don't need to say "Hey Google" anymore to get it to do something. You say it once, and you can continue conversating with your Google Assistant until you are finished. It'll have an 8-second buffer, and then once that 8 seconds is up, it'll stop listening, and then you have to say "Hey Google" again. But within that 8 seconds, you can keep asking questions and say, "Hey Google, remind me to get my coffee. Oh, what's the weather today? Oh, how's my commute? What's the traffic like?" You can just keep asking it questions, and it will get there for you. All right, that'll wrap it up for today, as we've gotten to the end of this last segment here, as we'll be back on Tuesday and do some more talk on your favorite technology devices and companies and everything that happens. I know we talked about, I did on my rant for a while on that IGTV and how it probably will be I could be wrong. I'm not a savant when it comes to tech stuff, but I just don't see that working very well. I know it might not be full vertical. It might be actually, because I know if you go on Instagram, it's actually more square. The more pictures are squares, or the videos are squares. So it's actually like more like 3x3 or 6x6 versus like 9x3, whatever the aspect ratio of it is. But I just don't see us watching full length TV shows from creators that we've already watched shorter things from on YouTube, or longer things from on YouTube, which is why there's YouTube, why it exists, and why it's huge. I just don't see Instagram really getting in on that. I think Instagram, if they want to pivot in any direction, they need to get more into messaging. If you're going to copy anybody, just continue copying Snapchat. Get more into messaging and try and get some sort of news function like Snapchat does. Because, I mean, I know Snapchat's gone through trials and tribulations with their app and changing things over and everything and trying to redesign it. They finally kind of think have found a good niche right now with the stories and the messaging now being separated again. I know they're trying to shove them all together, but now it's kind of a happy medium. Instagram, you got some work to do. I think Snapchat's really passed you up in this game right now. All right, we'll be back on Tuesday, so everybody have a good weekend. Talk to you later. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.